I'm so pleased to welcome Dr. Scott back as our preacher this morning. This is like your fourth, and also like you've done special talks, like you're old hat around here at this point. Nevertheless, I'm going to introduce her. Dr. Scott is an award-winning historian, author, and speaker. She left her position, and this is hard to believe you did this, right? Still, she left her position as a tenured professor of American history and chair of the Department of History at Hood College to become the director of the Institute for Common Power, a nonprofit which provides education that fosters, sustains, and expands what should be the most common power in American democracy, the right to vote. So to leave that history position for such an important, for such a time as this, incredible. During her tenure at Hood, Dr. Scott received numerous awards, including the college's highest commendation for professors, the Excellence in Teaching Award. She earned her doctorate in history from the University of Chicago. She's the author of an increasing number of books, right? And throughout her career, Dr. Scott has been heavily involved in community service and activism. So we're so glad you're here and look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning. It is lovely to see familiar faces and new faces. Wow, the choir has grown so much since the last time I was here. Just beautiful. Thank you all so much for welcoming me today. It's always such an honor when Reverend Carl asks me to speak and when all of you invite me into this community. It's a beautiful community, and I really appreciate it. And the date of this conversation came at just the right time. It's been an incredibly fulfilling year and an incredibly challenging one as well. My work, while important and rewarding, comes along with trials. I get emotionally tired. I know many of you can relate, whether in your personal, professional lives, or both. We're facing many challenges these days, and I'm here today to outline a few of those as I urge you and remind myself to never stop in the middle of a storm. That is my simple yet complex message for today. Never stop in the middle of a storm. The dictate is not mine, however. I've borrowed it from an incredibly poetic Georgia poet with whom I've had the pleasure of meeting in my position at the Institute of Common Power. I will this morning tell you more about him and how his encouraging words can inspire all of us and carry us into a better future. But first, a little bit about some of the emotional obstacles I faced, and I'm going to be honest about them. It does us nothing to pretend that everything is all perfect at all times, and how I have found inspiration to persevere. As mentioned, I was a tenured professor of history at Hood College until 2022, when I left to become the director and co-founder of the Institute for Common Power. I know most people don't leave tenured positions, and it was a wonderful position, but that should tell you something about where my heart is in terms of the work that we are doing at the Institute for Common Power. It's the educational branch of an organization called Common Power, a voting justice organization that's based in Seattle, but we do work all over the country. In the Institute, we learn about how our common power has been forged in America despite overwhelming obstacles. Specifically, we are guided by the strategies, people, and institutions in historical movements for emancipation, citizenship, suffrage, civil rights, and justice to inform how we take action to foster and create an inclusive democracy today. At the base of what we do is the use of the discipline of history. I am a historian, so of course that is an incredible part of this. To change, to create change, and to move us to action. We offer a variety of programming, from mini courses on history to workshops on how to have conversations across difference. We have a program called Scholars in Motion, with chapters here in Frederick, as well as in Selma, Alabama. It's designed for high schoolers who live in government-subsidized housing. We're attempting to create a level playing field for those students by providing mentoring and tutoring and SAT training and college visits to help them get to college. One of the hallmarks of the work that we do at the Institute is an experiential educational opportunity called the Truth and Purpose Learning Tour. We take organizations and individuals on journeys through the American South to explore aspects of our collective history that are too often dismissed, ignored, and more frequently denied. By diving into the historical roots of this country and attendant racial and structural disparities born from the past, We aim to equip people with the knowledge and insights necessary to recognize and dismantle injustice as they drive change. I spend a lot of time traveling to the American South, discussing the tragic and triumphant history of African Americans, helping to usher people through pain and awakenings and move them into action. My colleagues and I work diligently to help others learn how they can change people's lives for the better, how they can eliminate systems of injustice. It's unbelievably rewarding work. Many of the people who join us on the learning tours are K through 12 educators from across the country. Several are from right here in Frederick, and at least one from this congregation. We give them full scholarships to go on these important journeys. The work is one of the most important things that I've been blessed in my life to do. It's an absolute honor. I get to teach, to learn, to inspire. And in full honesty, it's hard. It is at times emotionally draining and taxing. Exploring and teaching the history of race and racism and enslavement and civil rights, as well as tying the history to today, often leaves me wondering why there is and has been so much hate in this world. Please understand this, it is a blessing to take people on journeys through some of the most challenging places in the country, teaching tough history, showing them how they can be inspired by the history makers, by the everyday, ordinary people. But it nonetheless comes along with challenges. The work also allows me to regularly meet people and go to places that inspire me and others to persevere. On these incredible journeys, I have had the honor of learning from and becoming friends with a Mr. Hank Stewart, a poet laureate from Atlanta, Georgia, who was nominated for the position by the late, great Congressman John Lewis. Mr. Stewart, through his beautiful prose, tells a compelling story that teaches all of us how we can keep going and weather the storms that we encounter. One day, Mr. Stewart was driving to Jackson, Florida from Atlanta, Georgia to visit his father. With his young son in tow, he was driving down the highway, going about 50 miles per hour. And then when he tells the story, he pauses and says, well, maybe 60 miles per hour, maybe 70. Okay, closer to 80, 85 miles per hour. And then the sun began to disappear behind heavy storm clouds, and thunderous rain began to pour from the skies. Mr. Stewart reveals that his visibility went down to almost nothing. Cars next to him began to stop along the highway as the rain continued to pour heavily and the skies increasingly darkened. He slowed down to 50, 40, to 30, to 15, and then to 10 miles per hour. But he didn't stop. Instead, he drove slowly, safely, but steadily, passing those cars pulled over along the road's edge, passing the people who stopped in the middle of the storm. He continued and gradually made his way forward, and then the rains stopped. The sun reemerged and shined ever so brightly in the sky. His visibility returned. He did not stop in the middle of the storm, and on the other side was sunshine and beauty that welcomed him. On the other side was a brighter day. Many of you do and have done incredible work to help others. That is something that I adore about this institution. You work to change lives. I know that you understand me when I say it is an honor to do work in service to others, but I also want to say that it is okay to recognize the work is at times hard, painful. And those feelings can be compounded by the things happening in the world around us. As I stand here today, there is a horrific war happening in the Middle East that divides people here in America. Children are being murdered, hospitals bombed. You can scarcely look at social media without seeing the pain and grief of mothers and fathers who now, despite the differences in their religious beliefs, their culture, their political views, are united by unimaginable loss. There are similar atrocities occurring in Sudan that news outlets here barely cover, but where innocent people are nonetheless dying terrible deaths. It is like living in a piece of hell, an anonymous man told the BBC. There's an assault on truth in this country, an attempt by politically motivated, frequently racist politicians and their bands of anti-woke sycophants to codify the denial of systemic racism and legislate against educators' ability to discuss and teach the vast contributions of African Americans, women, LGBTQ plus Americans, and others who have been vital in the struggle for civil rights, voting justice, and the very growth of this nation. Educators in recent months have been fired for teaching about racial and social justice. Just last week, the officers who murdered a 23-year-old African-American young man, Elijah McClain, in Aurora, Colorado, were acquitted. I have written and spoken about Elijah often since his death. Elijah's last words included him telling his murderers that he loved them. And of course, we each have our own individual challenges that are very real and can impact us in very serious ways. Personal challenges that often leave us feeling downtrodden or discouraged. There's a cost to doing work that is in service to others. There's a cost to understanding the challenges people face around the world. There's a cost, a physical and emotional cost, to personal strife and pain. But we cannot stop driving in the middle of a storm because the cost of stopping is far greater. There is a beauty and sunshine waiting for us on the other side. Furthermore, while there is a cost to work that changes society, work that helps others, it is nothing like the cost paid by people who came before us. History constantly reminds us of this. I say frequently that history is a self-help book. It's inspirational, much like the quote that you shared with us this morning. History tells us stories that sustain our energy to create a just and inclusive democracy. It functions as both prologue and primer. It extends to us warnings as it fills us with the hope and determination necessary to change the world, necessary to redress the evils of the past as we uplift those around us. It teaches us so much about weathering the storm. In 1961, the Freedom Riders, an interracial group of courageous foot soldiers, sought to eliminate segregation on interstate travel. What if they stopped in 1961 because of what they faced and simply went home? What if they said, "This is too much, too hard. We would not have transportation equity today"? What if the 600 and then 2,000 and then 25,000 people from varied ethnic and racial backgrounds, varied faiths, who marched from Selma to Montgomery in 1965, stopped in the middle of the storm? They marched because they believed in freedom and the right of all people, regardless of race, to have the right to vote. They marched to honor Reverend James Reeb, a Unitarian Universalist minister who traveled to Selma to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge and all the way to Montgomery to bring attention to injustice in Alabama and beyond. Reverend Reeb wasn't able to make it to Montgomery. He was murdered by people so filled with hate that they didn't want any type of democracy to prevail in this country. What if people didn't continue the fight and instead stopped in that horrendous storm? We would not have a Voting Rights Act today that makes sure people can vote without being imprisoned or beaten or killed. If people who work to create change, to bring about racial and social justice, had stopped their work, we would not have the freedoms we have today. We cannot stop in the middle of a storm. And I must pose to you an exceptionally important question that I want you to ask yourself when you're tired, when you're feeling challenged, when helping others and doing work that makes a difference feels taxing, impossible. Here's the question. If we stop in the middle of the storm and retreat into self, if we don't take care of others, if we don't try to help others, what will happen to them? It's a question that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so eloquently posed in his final speech. Last month, I had the honor of traveling to the place where he delivered that speech. It was a profound experience that served as a reminder of why we must keep pushing and never stop. In the midst of the turmoil and uprising that had gripped much of the nation in 1967, when people were rebelling against systemic inequality and police brutality in the absence of human rights, Dr. King penned his final book, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community? Imploring people to understand the frustrations of those situated in the geographically and economically restrictive boundaries of inequality. He called for change, for perseverance, for courage to dismantle an unjust system. The passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act marked seemingly inconceivable and unattainable change. But there was still work to be done. Dr. King, always one to stride confidently and audaciously into the path of change, would lead by example in answering the question posed in his final monograph when he traveled to Memphis, Tennessee, to help what many considered the least among us. On April 3rd, 1968, he arrived in Memphis to come to the aid of striking sanitation workers. Just weeks before his arrival, two men, Ecole Cole and Robert Walker, were fatally crushed by a garbage truck, and the city failed to act. Their deaths revealed long-standing abuse and dismissiveness of sanitation workers in Memphis and existed as the spark that ignited an organized effort for change. Dr. King arrived that Wednesday as 1,300 sanitation workers were on strike. He came to aid in their fight. That evening, the evening before his assassination on April 4th, one of the most visible leaders in the world delivered an unbelievably powerful and emotional speech to a crowd gathered at Bishop Charles Mason Temple. There stood King, clenching the edges of the lectern, sick from what appeared to be influenza, understanding and living one of the guiding tenets of his faith, of his identity. What is done to the least of us is done to all of us. While discussing the plight of the local sanitation workers, he posed the following to highlight and herald the importance of self-sacrifice. The question before you tonight, he implored, is not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all of the hours that I usually spend in my office every day, every week. The question is not if I stop to help those people in need, what will happen to me. The question, he insisted, is if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. What will happen to them? The question before us today and every day is what will happen to others if we do nothing? What happens to others if we stop in the middle of the storm? What happens to you personally if you stop in the middle of the storm? Sunshine and better days are on the other side. And you do not have to weather that storm alone. You sit here in a beautiful community of people willing and wanting to help you through your struggles. Lean in. Lean on one another. We sit in a room filled with people who are welcoming to all. Each and every time I have come, that has been my experience. I brought my family. That is the experience here in this institution. There is so much good, so much beauty around us that when we feel burdened by the weight of all that is wrong, we must look around and find the good. It is truly everywhere, but you have to keep driving to find your way out of that storm or you'll never see the sunshine. Are we going to stop and allow the thunderous rain to consume us, or will we keep driving, keep going until the storm clouds part and the sun shines down upon us? We must find the strength to continue because the consequences of stopping are too grave, too detrimental to ourselves and others. So however challenging things may seem, remember that those who came before us faced and how they were able to weather the storm and create change. If they can do what they did, given the challenges surrounding them, we can do anything. I want to tell you today to never give up. Never stop in the middle of the storm. Keep driving, keep pushing, keep loving. Hate and pain shall falter before the strength of virtue and love and determination. Thank you.